Yes, sir. I've tried a new draft. Before Martin gets here, I'd like to read it to you because I've gone over it with Gardner, and there is one problem. This is what I would say. Probable response to the press request for opinion would be A, demands for credit that exceed a bank's resources do not justify raising the price of money as a sole means of determining who gets the credit. Credit expansion can and should be restrained by a bank officer saying no to borrowers on criteria other than who is willing to foot the bill. For the big banks to rely on higher interest rates as the only means for denying credit among a relatively few large borrowers is to put up the cost of money for everyone who borrows money. The better course is to hold down a growth of credit that threatens inflation by saying no to the least deserving applicants and projects. B, bank lending practices are determined by the banks themselves and the monetary and bank supervisory authorities who receive their powers directly from the Congress and not through the President. C, the President will continue to appeal as he had to plead and appeal as he has to everyone in business, finance, and labor to be moderate and forego the unusual profit opportunities the present situation may present. D, this is not to say that demand for credit are not excessive. They may well be, but the most desirable way to reduce the excesses is to turn down the less needy and less worthy borrowers, not price the total of the American people out of the money market.
Well, that's sure a whole lot better, I think it sure is.
Now, what I had in, but what Gardner felt would be unwise, and I agree with him, is the following language, which was reflected our conversation, but I think it would, in effect, be interpreted as saying, well, you won't stop what's going on. You won't let us either. This is the language I had in that I'm leaving out. What applies to wages and prices applies to the cost of money. Of course, those who sell their labor and those who sell goods and services can reduce the demand for their products and services by raising their prices to the point that would-be purchasers are driven out of the market. That is what we're asking them not to do. There is no reason why the same rule shouldn't apply to the cost of money, which affects private needs and the cost of living of most Americans and the budget that taxpayers collectively support. Gardner feels that if you put that in, you're really saying to him, in effect, no, by no means no. And that you ought to be in that position because they're much more likely to, they've done it, and you're really, if you felt that way, you should have intervened and tried to stop it.
Well, I have. Every damn time anybody talks to me about raising interest rates, I've tried to stop it.
Well, I think we have that last part.
I'd say that last part myself, but I don't want to do it if my people think it's unwise.
Well,
but that's exactly the way I feel, and I'm liable to say if you haven't got some notes in front of me in a press conference.
I know. Well, I think that what you're saying in this one sentence says it without driving it deep. It says the President will continue to plead and appeal, as he has to everyone in business, finance, and labor, to be moderate and forego the unusual profit opportunities that the present situation may present. I think you've said it. You've implied the whole thing there.
All right. Now, I'm real worried about what's happening. The stock market's down. It's a real record, 11:30, down to 9:21.
Yeah.
Dow Jones. That's pretty strong, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I think that could be good, but it looks to me like it's going pretty fast downward.
Well,
it is up close to 100, you know.
Well, I know. I would think that we worry when it gets below, I think it's 880. I think that's that Dow Jones break point down below there. But none of this is very disturbing. But you know, an interesting thing, Mr. President, is twice now in the last 2 weeks, the lead article in the Wall Street Journal has taken another strange point of view, namely that this thing may well be over. I don't know whether you read the one this morning. But you know that Outlook column.
What may be over?
Well, that this everybody's predicting that this thing is going.
This thing, what thing?
Inflation.
Oh.
And that the boom, the trend, the inflationary trend, may be approaching an end.
I wish it was. Hope it is. Now, did you have, you haven't had any votes on your tax thing yet? You got any more data on it?
Yes, sir. I've talked to Tidings and firmed him up for sure. We thought we had him, and we did. Pastore, this is kind of, you may know all about it, but got him lined up to make this tabling motion. Brewster is swinging around with us.
Tabling what?
Tabling the Ribicoff Amendment.
Oh, yeah. Pastore then will table it.
Yeah, that would be excellent because he was for it last time. Dodd was against, was for the Ribicoff Amendment. He's going to take a walk. Neuberger didn't vote last time, and she's going to be with us. I've had...
What does it make your totals look like?
I don't have a good hard total.
You make somebody do it. I've been asking for 2 days now, and somebody ought to get me one.
I know. I have
Just make a guess. Tell Joe somebody. I haven't bothered him, but tell him.
Make They're up there with Russell. They went up 11:30. I'll get them up there now.
And tell him to do everything they can to drive on, make them stay as late as they will.
Davis talked to Senator Long and... had talked to him before, and I sent him back after him, but I get bad reports on both Long and Symington.
Hmm.
Because and Long's is
Somebody
not,
told us this morning that Long, Missouri, was ready to go with us, and the Symington said if we'd got to him 4 hours earlier, we would have. So we got to teach our boys to go to work on this. We've known this tax bill's up there for a week, and Davis ought to lose his... His two senators.
Well, he's been up talking to them, and I put it right to him.
What did Long say?
Well, he said that Long said, well, he had committed, he'd been one of the signatories on the
He's
bill.
Not committed, though, by
and
God.
Of course he isn't committed. And I told True not to buy that this notice was served by Ribicoff in the open hearing as late as last Tuesday. And any commitments that pre-existed prior to that, such as putting your name on an amendment, don't stand in the context of this fiscal responsibility factor. And Davis is going back after him again, but I just wanted to give you a report on that. Symington was, of course, for the Ribicoff Amendment last time, despite all the work we did on him, and True's going back after him again. But I don't count those.
Okay, you get a little balance. Let me see how they stand so I can look at them.
Operator?